Yes. Father, we give you thanks and praise that you are already here this morning. You promised that where two or three were gathered in your name, you would be in their midst. We pray now that you would minister to us, that you would fill our hearts to overflowing with your love and grace, that as we leave this place, we might go out into a world to let them know that there is someone who loves and cares for them, that God is in control. We don't need to worry or fret. In Jesus' name, amen.
Footsteps of Jesus.
litany this morning is, depending on whether you look at the bulletin or the litany, it's either follow me or come be my disciples. It boils down to the same thing. Jesus said, follow me, come be my disciples.
And we reply, as have others through the centuries, we do not understand. Please explain what you mean.
Jesus said, if you want to be perfect, go and sell all that you have, give the money to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven, then come, follow me.
Lord, your promise of treasures in heaven is appealing, but how can you expect us to give away what we have worked so hard to get? Then we too will be poor.
Again he replied, if you want to be my follower, you must put aside your selfish ambition, shoulder your cross daily, and follow me.
Put yourself aside and take up your cross. That sounds scary, Lord. What else are you going to want me to do?
And he said, if you will come and be my disciple, I will show you how to fish for people.
Lord, I do not want to help, but please don't ask me to speak to others, or to share my faith, or to share your love.
Listen, my child. If you acknowledge me, I will acknowledge you before my Father in heaven. But if you deny me, I will deny you before my Father in heaven.
Lord, it seems like I'm doing all the work. What about all the others who are not doing their part?
Jesus replied, what is that to you? You follow me. And all God's people responded, Lord, we hear and accept your call and claim on our lives. Empower us with your Holy Spirit that we might follow you and share your love every moment of every day. Glory be to the Father and to the Son and to the Holy Ghost, as it was in the beginning, is now and ever shall be, world without end. Amen. Amen.
You may be seated.
As we prepare to go to prayer this morning, are there joys and concerns that you'd like to share with the family of God?
But ironically, after going to all the neighbors and expressing a concern or whatever, that firebox that was taken and unharmed, which had all our legal documents and our existence basically in that, was on our front porch this morning. So I just want to say thank you, because prayer, and even when I spoke to the sheriff this morning, he even mentioned that only Jesus does that. And I told him, I said, you're right. I said, that's the only thing, reason why I was back on my porch this morning. And I just want to let them know, whoever did take that, I forgive them and we forgive them. And I just want to pray for them.
Okay, we certainly will remember you. Over the years, I have been through about 10 church break-ins. And I do know it's very traumatic, and you certainly will be in our thoughts and prayers. Terry, David.
Sorry, David.
Several years ago, our little granddaughter Natalie had a serious condition, and her little sister Charlotte was showing signs that she might have the same condition, but we got her tested this week, and she is just fine. So this is praise for her good health.
Great. Thank you.
So please keep Jenna in your prayers this week. She'll be going to Vanderbilt Children's Hospital on Wednesday. We're going to go up Tuesday night, but on Wednesday she'll be having some tests.
Thank you. Would it be okay if we were to have her come in and have special prayer for her during the prayer time? Would that be all right, or would you rather not? Or okay.
Also, J.J. Nearman, you all remember J.J., Zoe's husband. His father passed away suddenly this week, so we need to remember their family as well.
Thank you.
wanted to give a report on Arlene Fuller. It has been 6 weeks since she fell, and she is improving, but she still needs your prayer. She's just very uncomfortable and all, but she's trusting in the Lord to heal her.
Great. Thank you.
Kathy has a report on Dolores
Ray. I talked to Dolores Ray yesterday. Many of you know she had back surgery, and although it didn't help straighten her back, it's relieved her of a great deal of the pain she was in. She leaves probably this afternoon to go to rehab in Knoxville, and she will let the church know where she can be, and any of us who can send her just encouragement. She's gone through a lot, and you know Ronnie is very ill at home and has to have continual care with home health. So just pray for that family and know that she wants to be back in church, she said, as soon as she can come.
Thank you. As the music plays, allow God to prepare your heart for prayer. Any of you that would like to come down and pray with Jenna, I certainly invite you to come down now as we lay our hands on her and as we pray for God's healing touch. Our Heavenly Father, we're here this morning not because we believe in the power of prayer, but because we believe in the power of God through prayer. As we come this morning, Lord, as we lay our hands and anoint with oil on Jenna, we just pray that you'd be with her during these coming tests and these coming procedures. We pray that you would remind her that you are the great physician, that you're going to be with her each step of the way. We pray that you'd be with Richard and Karen, Lord. Lift them up and strengthen them that they might feel your presence and your power and your peace. So often as parents, Lord, we say, why couldn't it be me? Why can't I go through it instead of her? Very often we don't have that luxury. We don't have that peace. But we just pray now that you'd surround them and lift them up. Thank you for caring for us. We pray now for your healing touch. We just pray, Lord, that you'd lay your hand upon her. Be with the doctors, guide and direct them, Lord. Show them those things that may or may not need to be done. We'll give you the praise in Jesus' name. Amen. Heavenly Father, now as we continue in prayer, we realize that there are others here in this room. There are others in the church. There are others in our community. And millions of others around the world that need your healing touch. We just pray today that you'd be with each one of them. So often, Lord, with the physical problems comes frustration, comes discouragement and depression and emotional issues. We just pray right now that they might feel your presence, that they might feel your healing touch, that they might know the peace of God that passes all understanding. We pray today that you would be with our nation as we prepare for this election. Lord, seems like every election is different, but not many are as different as this one is. We pray that you would give us your guidance, your discernment. We pray, Lord, that we might be able to see your will and your plan and your direction for our nation. We pray that you would give us a calmness and an assurance, Lord, that no matter who is elected, that we will know that you are in control, that we will allow you to guide and direct each one of our lives, that we will determine in the next 4 years that we will pray for our president. Lord, if we like our president, if they're the one we voted for, then we should pray for them. If we're not too thrilled about our new president, if we didn't vote for them, then we should pray for them. Remind us, Lord, that your word admonishes that we should lift up our leaders and we should keep them in our thoughts and prayers day by day. Lord, I don't know of anybody in their right mind that would really want to be president of our country in this day and age, but it seems like there are some that do. So help us that we might be supportive, whoever it may be. Be with our troops, watch over them, keep them safe. We pray that you would be with our children as they are going out tomorrow night. We hear so many stories about all these auto accidents and everything that happened on Halloween. We just pray that you'd watch over them, Lord. We pray that you would give drivers wisdom and discernment as they're on the roads tomorrow night with all these young people running one from one side to the other. Help them, Lord, that they might keep their eyes open and their minds clear as they navigate through this minefield of all these potential problems. We pray today that you'd be with your church. Oh God, we thank you for all of the many years that Rockwood United Methodist Church has been here to do your work and to do your will and to make a difference in the world. We just pray now that you would continue to show us the way that you would have us to go. We pray, Lord, that you would stir our hearts. We pray that you would fill us to overflowing with your Holy Spirit, that we might be about the work that you've called us to do. In Jesus' precious name we ask it. Amen. Ushers, would you please come? Heavenly Father, we give you thanks and praise for all of your many wonderful blessings. How blessed we are to be in the United States of America, and even more blessed to be in East Tennessee. Remind us, Lord, that we are among the top 5% of the richest people in the world. Help us to focus on what we can do and what we can give and how we can build your kingdom. We pray now that you bless the gift, bless the giver, bless the one who's unable to give. In Jesus' name, amen.
Holy Ghost, all. care of you.
In Sunday school this morning, we did a little art project, didn't we? What'd we draw? What'd we draw? Pumpkins. That's right, pumpkins. We drew pumpkins. And this is one that I made a pumpkin, made a jack-o'-lantern out of it. Tell me about that jack-o'-lantern. What's he doing? He's glowing. Okay, that's right. He's glowing. Well, didn't you all make jack-o'-lanterns at home this week? Didn't you? How'd you do that?
Split them open.
You cut them open, and then what'd you do? Made faces. Made faces, but before you made the faces, what'd you do?
I didn't dig out the seeds.
You didn't dig out the seeds? Why not?
Because I didn't like the yucky.
You didn't like the yucky. You did.
Like make pumpkin pie.
Well, yeah, we would like to make pumpkin pie, wouldn't we? Okay, so before you made the faces, you had to dig out all that yucky stuff, didn't you? And then you made faces, and then put candles in them, and they glow, right?
Candy in them.
Yeah, well, I don't know about putting candy in these. We've got some we put candy in, don't we? Well, you know, when this kind of makes me think about what Jesus does for us, Do you know that? Because, you know, before we give our lives to Jesus, okay, just a minute, our lives are full of all kinds of yucky stuff, all kinds of sin and bad thoughts.
It's starting to hurt.
Okay. And then Jesus goes in when we give our lives, and he goes in and he digs out that you don't like, and he makes a smile on our face, and then he puts a light inside. He puts his light inside of us so that we glow and everybody can see God's love through us. So tomorrow night when you go trick-or-treating and you see all those beautiful pumpkins, think that Jesus can do this for me. He can clean out all the yuck, and he can put a smile on our face and a light so that all can see. Bow our heads. Our dear Heavenly Father, we thank you so much. We thank you for this church. We thank you for this family that we have through you. And Lord, we just thank you that you do clean the yuck out of our lives, and that you can put a smile on our face in spite of everything, and help us to always glow so that others can see our love. In your Son's name we pray. Amen. Okay, guys.
This morning's scripture reading comes from the 24th chapter of Joshua, verses 15 through 18. But if you are unwilling to serve the Lord, then choose today whom you will serve. Would you prefer the gods your ancestors serve beyond the Euphrates? Or will it be the gods of the Amorites in whose land you now live? But as for me and my family, we will serve the Lord. The people replied, "We would never forsake the Lord and worship other gods, for the Lord our God is the one who rescued us and our ancestors from slavery in the land of Egypt. He performed mighty miracles before our very eyes. As we traveled through the wilderness among our enemies, he preserved us. It was the Lord who drove out the Amorites and the other nations living here in the land. So we too will serve the Lord, for he alone is our God." The word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God.
As deep as the grace hovers near like a dove. I know there's a
I don't know if you've noticed the sermon topic for this morning or not. How will you vote? Now, I realize that sounds like a loaded topic. However, be assured that I am not talking about him or her. Be assured that I'm not talking about red or blue. I'm not talking even about voting issues in terms of November the 8th. Back in the 70s, I was in a discount store just outside Kansas City. It was Labor Day weekend. And as I was walking down one of the aisles, one of the clerks was very busy setting up a Christmas display. Labor Day weekend. And I was kind of surprised, and I said, now wait a minute here. I said, it's the first week in September. She said, oh, I know. He said, we've had this stuff in the back since before 4th of July, but we were just now able to get to it. Interesting. Have you noticed that our nation is not only gearing up for Christmas, but they're gearing up for another occasion as well. Before Christmas, before Thanksgiving, before Veterans Day. In case you haven't heard, we're on the brink of a presidential election. As a church, as Americans, we have the responsibility to be informed and to exercise our constitutional right to vote. It's one of the blessings we have as Americans. And let me remind you this morning that you and I are American Christians, not Christian Americans. If we ever get to the point where our relationship with Jesus Christ is just an adjective, we are in deep trouble. Okay? First of all and foremost, we are Christians. We have the blessing of being able to be Americans also, East Tennesseans also, still Vol fans also. However, first and foremost is our relationship with Jesus Christ. As we prepare for this election, for this event, for this circus or whatever it may be, after all of the months of debate and hype and everything else that's gone on, there are two things this morning of which I'm sure. First of all, we can be certain that none of the candidates will be able to fulfill all of their promises. Count on it. There are too many checks and balances built into the system. There's Congress, there's special interest groups, the American public, and the rest of the world also will be in on influencing the decisions made by those who are elected. There are lobbyists in Washington representing industries and groups with hundreds of billions of dollars available. I've read the estimates of the number of lobbyists that are in Washington, and they range between 12,000 and 100,000, which means that every single solitary politician up there could have between 22 and 187 lobbyists twisting their arm one way or the other. The second thing of which I'm sure is that no matter who is elected, after the election, we're going to see bumper stickers that say, "Don't blame me, I voted for the other person." Each of us needs to exercise this great privilege that's ours and prayerfully do our part to promote whichever candidate we feel would more enable the United States to truly be one nation under God. A father had just finished telling his daughter a bedtime story. It kind of piqued her interest. And she says, "Daddy, do all fairy tales begin with once upon a time?" And the father replied and said, "No. As a matter of fact, some of them begin with, 'If I'm elected, I promise you.'" Let me share a story with you this morning that we can ponder between now and November 8th and during the next 4 years. Now, this story is not theologically correct. I'll say that right up front. But it does have a message. While walking across a busy intersection near the Capitol, a U.S. senator was hit by a truck and died. His soul arrived in heaven and was met by St. Peter. "Welcome to heaven," said St. Peter. "We don't see many politicians around here, so we're not sure what to do with you. What we've decided to do is to have you spend one day in hell and one day in heaven, and then you'll choose where you want to spend eternity." With that, St. Peter escorted him to the elevator. He went down, down, down to hell. The doors opened, and he found himself in the middle of a beautiful green golf course. In the distance, standing in front of the clubhouse, were his friends and many politicians with whom he had worked over the years. Everyone was dressed in formal attire and looked very happy. They ran to greet him. They hugged and shook hands and then reminisced about the good times they had getting rich at the expense of others. After a round of golf, they dined on steak, lobster, caviar, and champagne. The devil was also present. He was very friendly and joined in as they dined and danced and told jokes. Before the senator realized it, it was time to go back up to heaven. Everyone gave him a hearty farewell and waved as the elevator began its trip back up. The elevator went up, up, up. The doors opened in heaven and St. Peter was waiting. The senator joined contented souls floating from cloud to cloud and playing their harps and singing. They had a good time. Soon the 24 hours was over and St. Peter returned. "You've spent a day in hell and a day in heaven. Now you must choose where you want to spend eternity." The senator reflected and then said, "I really think I'd rather be in hell." St. Peter escorted them to the elevator, and he went down, down, down to hell. The doors of the elevator opened, and the senator found himself in the middle of a barren, smelly, burning landscape, covered with filth and trash. All of his friends were there. They were crying, they were moaning, they were dressed in rags. They painfully picked through the garbage while more trash fell from above. The devil appeared with a distorted grin on his face. "I don't understand," stammered the senator. "Yesterday I was here, and it was a beautiful golf course. We ate steak and lobster and caviar. We drank champagne and had a great time. And now it's just a burning wasteland full of garbage. My friends all look miserable. What happened?" The devil smiled and said, "Yesterday we were campaigning. Today you voted." I do have some extra copies of that with me. If you'll see me at the back door, I'll be more than happy to give you one. Food for thought during the next week and a half. Too often, we feel that our vote really doesn't matter. No doubt, many of us have said, what difference can one vote make? Let me give you some examples from history. In 1645, one vote gave Oliver Cromwell control of England. 1649, one vote caused Charles I of England to be executed. 1776, one vote gave America the English language instead of the German language. 1839, one vote elected Marcus Morton governor of Massachusetts. 1845, one vote brought Texas into the United States. 1868, one vote saved President Andrew Johnson from impeachment. 1875, one vote changed France from a monarchy to a republic. 1876, one vote gave Rutherford B. Hayes the presidency of the United States. 1923, one vote gave Adolf Hitler the leadership of the Nazi Party. 1941, one vote preserved the Selective Service System just 12 weeks before the Japanese attack on Pearl Harbor. 1960, President Richard Nixon lost the presidential election to John F. Kennedy by less than one vote per precinct in the United States. Every vote is important. However, this morning, I'm here to tell you that nowhere is our vote more significant than in spiritual matters. There, our vote, in quotes, can make an eternity of difference for each of us. And we're casting these votes every day in the way that we live, the way that we act, and the way that we react. Now, there's a theological issue that we need to address first. We need to remember that we're not saved by our vote. Our salvation is a gift from God based on the sacrifice of Jesus Christ on Calvary's cross. Now, I realize that as we look through the Bible, we find the terms elect and election there. I had a college professor who commented on these, and he said, well, he said, the truth of the matter is that to get into heaven, it takes two votes. God has already cast one vote in our favor. The second vote is up to us. If we do have a vital, viable relationship with God, it'll show up in how we vote every day. Let me share just three ways that we vote, three votes that we make every day in our lives. The first vote that we cast has to do with our relationship with God. You remember in the scripture that David read, but if you're unwilling to serve the Lord, then choose today, vote for whom you will serve. Would you prefer the gods of your ancestors, or will it be the gods of the Amorites in whose land you now lived? But as for me and my family, we will serve the Lord. Jesus in Matthew 12 stated the ballot this way, anyone who isn't helping me opposes me, and anyone who isn't working with me is actually working against me. He wasn't just talking about lip service. He went on and he said, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but the one who does the will of my Father. In Matthew 22, when Jesus was asked the greatest commandment, he replied, you must love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. He said, this is the first and greatest commandment. Now, I've shared with you before about a couple that I had in my first church over 45 years ago. They had been attending for about 6 months, and one afternoon I went to visit them. And during the course of the visit, we got to talking about church membership. And they said, well, Pastor, they said, the church that we used to attend, we attended for over 30 years and never did join. Their rationale for that, you'll remember, was that they felt that if the church got into some problems or if things weren't going the way they liked them to go, they weren't members, so they could just duck out for a while and come back when things had settled down. God's kingdom doesn't work that way, folks. In God's kingdom, there are no independents. Okay? We're either on one side or the other. Galatians 5, that we've been through for the last several weeks now, over 8 weeks, We talked about the difference that the fruit of the Spirit makes in our lives. You remember it says, when you follow the desires of your sinful nature, your lives will produce these evil results, and it named them. Then Paul went on and said, but when the Holy Spirit controls our lives, he will produce this kind of fruit in us. And you remember what those were. Now, it's not difficult for us to do an exit poll to see how people are voting in terms of spiritual matters. All we have to do is look at the fruit. Jesus said, by their fruit you will know them. And we've talked about this. People say, well, that doesn't make it right for us to be fruit inspectors. You don't have to be a fruit inspector to know a good fruit from a bad fruit, to know a blueberry from a watermelon. No. It doesn't take any judgment on that point. All it's doing is knowing them by their fruit. Our second vote has to do with our relationship with our brothers and sisters, all of them worldwide. 1 John 4. If someone says, I love God, but hates a Christian brother or sister, that person is a liar. For if we don't love people we can see, how can we love God whom we have not seen? And God himself has commanded that we must love not only him, but our Christian brothers and sisters also. In Matthew 22, after Jesus said, love God with all your heart and your soul and your mind, he said, the second is equally important. Love your neighbor as yourself. You remember in Matthew 25, Jesus was talking. He said, I was hungry and you didn't feed me. I was thirsty and you didn't give me to drink. I was naked, you didn't clothe me. I was sick, you didn't visit me. Lord, we don't remember any of those. And Jesus said, if you haven't done it to these, you haven't done it to me. And at the same time, I was hungry and you did feed me. I was thirsty, you did give me to drink. And on he went, oh, Lord, we don't remember that either. Well, if you've done it to others, you have done it to me. The scripture tells us that the day is going to come when God will separate obedient followers and pretenders, obedient followers from pretenders and unbelievers. The real evidence that we belong to God, that Jesus lives in our heart, is how we act. To treat everybody that we meet as if they were Jesus is not an easy task. What we do to others demonstrates what we really think about Jesus' words to us. Very often we pray the Lord's Prayer, and in it it says, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. God's kingdom and God's will are fulfilled as we vote and allow God to be in our present lives every moment of every day. We need to remember that our ministry for God is nothing more or less than a God thing. So often we think about programs and we think about offices and we think about power and we think about all of these other things. But it's a God thing. And we need to realize that this comes about in at least three different ways. First of all, Jesus told us in Matthew 25 that when we show love and compassion to others and minister to their needs, we're ministering to Jesus. If you've done it to the least of these, you've done it to me, right? Okay. When we minister to other people, we are really ministering to Jesus. Secondly, anytime that we allow God to use us as vessels of his mercies and grace, then others have an opportunity to see God in us. We sing that song that says, let the beauty of Jesus be seen in me, all of his wonderful passion and purity. That's what we're talking about there. And then thirdly, okay, we're ministering to Jesus. Others see God in us. And then thirdly, if we look, as we reach out, we can discover God in others ministering to us. You ever had times when you wanted to be a blessing and you ended up getting more blessed yourself? That's the way it works. When we think about our vote, our testimony, we need to allow God to control how we focus on things. We need to realize that if we're not careful, things will control us. Matthew 16, Jesus said, "And how do you benefit if you gain the whole world but lose your own soul in the process? Is there anything worth more than your soul? If a person is ashamed of me and my message in these adulterous and sinful days, I, the Son of Man, will be ashamed of that person when I return in the glory of my Father with the holy angels." What would we trade for our soul? Judas betrayed Jesus for 30 pieces of silver. How much do you think it'd take today for us to betray Jesus? A minister from out of state had received a call to a church in Houston, Texas. Not too long after he arrived at that church and was getting settled in, he had occasion to take the bus downtown. After he got seated on the bus, he noticed that the bus driver had given him 25 cents too much change. As he sat there, on the one hand, he said, "Well, 25 cents, the bus company isn't going to miss it. Just accept it as a gift from God." On the other hand, he realized that there'd be a problem there. The bus came to a stop, and as he was getting off, he reached in his pocket and took out the quarter and handed it to the driver and said, "Here, you gave me too much change." The driver smiled. He said, you're the new preacher in town, aren't you?" Preacher nodded his head. And the bus driver said, "Well, you know," he said, "lately," he said, "I've really been thinking that I need to get back in church. I need to allow God to get my life back on track." And he said, "I was just wondering what you would do if I gave you too much change. I'll see you Sunday." The bus pulled away, and the preacher grabbed onto a light pole and just hung onto it for a couple minutes. And he said, "I almost betrayed Jesus for 25 cents. That's where the issue is. A number of years ago, when I was pastoring up in Wisconsin, had a young couple in my church, Jeff and Lisa. They were wanting to get married. Now, I don't know if you realize it or not, but Wisconsin, the per capita drinking rate is 28% higher than the rest of the nation. Jeff came in to talk to me one day, shortly before the wedding. He said, "Pastor," he said, "I've got a problem." He said, "Most of my family drink." He said, "Most of my family and most of Lisa's family, when they come to the reception, they're going to expect alcoholic beverages there. What are we to do?" Believe it or not, I didn't say anything. I sat there for a minute. Then I said, "What do you think, Jeff?" He sat there, and all of a sudden his mouth dropped open. He said, "Now I understand." He said, "Last Friday night, a group of my old buddies that I used to go out drinking with invited me to go out with them for one last fling." He said, "We went to the bar where we used to hang out." And he said, "We were sitting there talking over old times and just having a good time, reminiscing and whatnot. One of my buddies set a shot glass in front of me." I said, "What's that?" He said, "Peppermint schnapps. Your favorite drink." Jeff said, "Guys, I don't do that anymore." He said, "I'm a Christian. I don't drink." And they said, "Oh, come on, Jeff. Just one for old time's sake. Come on. Just a toast to your wedding. Come on. It's okay." Jeff said, "Pastor, I was tempted. I really was." He said, "But finally, I said, no, guys, I don't do that anymore." One of his friends took the glass and poured it out on the floor, and they all laughed. He said, "What are you laughing about?" They said, "Oh, we heard you were a Christian, and we were wondering. That was just water in that glass, and we were wondering if you'd really changed." He said, "Pastor, I almost sold out my Christian testimony and my faith in Jesus for a shot glass of water." He knew what he needed to do at that wedding, at that reception. our vote does count, folks. And God is going to judge us according to how we have voted. Not on November 8th. I'm not talking about that. I'm sure God's up there just shaking his head about the whole situation. But God is going to judge us on how we voted about our relationship with God. How we voted about our relationship with others. And how we voted in terms of dealing with God's blessings. And how we represent God's love and grace. Do we daily vote for or against God and God's kingdom? How do we vote regarding others? Is it a vote of love, compassion, and forgiveness? Does the way we regard things show the world that everything belongs to God and we're just taking care of it for God? Are we open to sharing God's blessing, God's love, and God's grace with others? Someone has said the love in your heart wasn't put there to stay. Love isn't love until you give it away. We've got a whole lot of giving to do. This morning, eternity is at stake. How will you vote? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, this morning, we pray that you would help each one of us, that day by day we might realize that the world is watching how we vote. It's not a secret ballot. Every moment of every day they can see how we're voting about our relationship with God, how we're voting about our relationship with others, and how we're voting in terms of the things of this world versus the things of your kingdom. Help us, Lord. Fill our hearts to overflowing. May your Holy Spirit direct us. In Jesus' name, amen.
I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. No turning back, no turning back. The world behind me, the cross before me. The world behind me, the cross before me. The world behind me, the cross before me. No turning back, no turning back. Though none go with me, still I will fall. Though none go with me, still I will follow. Though none go with me, still I will follow. No turning back, no turning back. Will you decide now to follow Jesus? Will you decide now to follow Jesus? Will you decide now to follow Jesus? No turning back, no turning back. Will you decide now? The vote is up to you.
May you leave this place empowered and enwisdomed by the Holy Spirit. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Amen.
Ha ha ha.